to our visitors as we worship together on this, the fourth Sunday of Easter. The following are the announcements. Just a reminder that this Monday, May the 4th, is May crowning. Please come and join us at Mass at 7 p.m. here in the church. Our anointing of the sick Mass will be Sunday, May the 17th at 12 o'clock Mass. This is your last chance to sign up to go with the St. Linus to Comerica Park for the Tigers game on June the 5th. All tickets ordered need to be in this Monday, May the 4th, by 12 p.m. So if you'd like to go, see page 5 in the bulletin for details. Mother's Day is next week, which means the Knights of Columbus will be hosting their annual Mother's Day brunch next Sunday, May 10th at 9 a.m. Come and treat your mom to a delicious meal on her special day. Remember that today is a deadline to RSVP for the volunteer dinner on May the 16th. If you still need to sign up, please see page 6 in the bulletin for more information. See page 3 in the bulletin for the meetings this week. Please stand and join in prayer and song.
Of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all kings, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the grace and peace of the risen Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Hello to those who are with us in their homes. It's good to have you with us on this beautiful spring morning. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice. Altogether lovely. Altogether worthy. Altogether wonderful. That is the Lord that we come to worship. So we start now asking the Lord's grace to examine our conscience, acknowledge our sins, so that truly we might come to Him with faith and repentance for the mercy that prepares and cleanses us. Jesus, you are The good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep, Lord, have mercy. O Jesus, you are the living bread that comes down from heaven that alone truly satisfies. Christ, have mercy. Jesus, out of your heart flowed blood and water, signs of baptism and our sonship and daughtership with you. Lord, have mercy. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to life everlasting.
Glory to God in the highest. Sing glory to God. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Glory to God in the highest, sing glory to God. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, receive our prayer. Glory to God in the highest. Sing glory to God. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord, the Most High Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Glory to God in the highest. Sing glory to God. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Let us pray. God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, though your people walk in the valley of darkness, no evil should they fear. For they follow in faith the call of the shepherd whom you have sent for their hope and strength. Attune our minds to the sound of his voice. Lead our steps in the path he has shown, that we may come to know the strength of his outstretched arm and enjoy the light of his presence forever. We ask this in the name of Jesus the Lord. Amen. One additional word I did not mention before Mass about present circumstances. It's always okay to not exchange a handshake at the kiss of peace. If somebody doesn't shake my hand after Mass and they say, "Father, I'm sick," do you think I'm glad they're not shaking my hand or I'm offended? I'm really, really glad. So, I mean, at this time, if you're not comfortable, if you think you might be sick, we're not to be offended. We could just nod our head and smile and say something, "Peace be with you." But if you're not uncomfortable shaking hands, don't do it.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said, "Leaders of the people and elders, if we are being examined today about a good deed done to a cripple, namely, by what means he was saved, then all of you and all the people of Israel should know that it was in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. In his name this man stands before you healed. He is the stone rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. There is no salvation through anyone else, nor is there any name under heaven given to the human race by which we are to be saved." The word of the Lord.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Let the house of Israel say, his mercy endures forever. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. The Lord's right hand has struck with power. The Lord's right hand is exalted. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done. It is wonderful in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad.
A reading from the first letter of St. John. Beloved, see what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we may be called the children of God. Yet so we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we shall be has not yet been revealed. We do know that when it is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. I am the good good shepherd, says the Lord. I know my sheep, and mine know me. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hired man who is not a shepherd and whose sheep are not his own sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf catches and scatters them. This is because he works for pay and has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I will lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. These also I must lead, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have power to lay it down and power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father. The Gospel of the Lord. For those of you who have such a thing, do you look forward to your yearly evaluation at work with your boss? This is not an easy thing to endure, even in the best of circumstances. It's worse if you don't trust your boss. What if you think they don't know enough to make a good evaluation? What if you think you know more than they do? Or they don't like you. That they don't know all the good that you have done. I think even fair evaluations can be difficult to endure. Unfair ones can be intolerable. This was for me the most difficult part of going to the seminary. I loved the classes. That was a blast. I love the ministry we did. That's why I was in the seminary. I love, for the most part, all the other seminarians. I did not enjoy the constant environment of evaluation. I'm not talking about academic evaluation. Grades were easy. I'm talking about what was called formation. It is a necessary and essential element in the training of priestly vocations. Was I emotionally mature? Was I spiritually earnest? Was I intellectually receptive? Did I live an integrated human life? These are important things to ask, aren't they? We certainly don't need priests that are emotionally repressed, spiritually dead, intellectually rigid, and relationally dysfunctional. But the problem becomes that these are subjective evaluations, subjective judgments, not mathematical calculations. You know that you need the approval of the faculty to be ordained. For 5 years, you live in a fishbowl. Eyes are always on you. You're constantly being evaluated. Sometimes you think things may not be fair. Maybe you trust some people more than others. Are you doing your best? Are you integrating well, interacting well with others? Can you take direction? Do you have an open mind? Do you look happy? Do other people like you? 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for 5 years. Other people will make a judgment about you that will affect the rest of your life. And there's not an appeal from their judgment. I'm not saying this is bad. I'm saying it's necessary and essential. Some of my best friends are now in these precise roles at Sacred Heart Seminary, and they do a very, very good job. I'm just saying it's not very comfortable. Nobody likes to live in a place of constant critical evaluation. It's often a component of effective career training, for instance, apprenticeships, internships for doctors, clerkships for lawyers. But hey, everybody's glad when that's over. It would be a stressful place to stay forever. Nobody likes to live in a constant state of critical evaluation. Work on these things. You're not measuring up here. You know you can do better. That's not good enough. Work harder. You can't continue without improvement. Who wants to hear that all the time? You can put your hands down now. Now listen, this is important. I think this is how many of us experience God. Our experience of God, maybe some of the time, maybe most of the time, is one of constant critical evaluation. You're not doing enough. You're not very good at this. You just did it again. Try harder, do more, measure up, or just quit. Now listen to this. This is even more important. That's not God. I know we believe in the last judgment. I know that we'll be held accountable for our actions. But that will be by a loving Father who loves us with a perfect, unconditional, and never-ending love that sent His only Son to get what we deserve. And that encounter will hinge on not whether we have earned our salvation, which is impossible, but on whether or not we have believed in the Son whom He has sent. That voice of constant critical evaluation, it's not God. It's what the Bible calls the accuser. The Bible says He's night and day before the throne of God accusing us. And it's a tragedy to mistake one voice for the other. It is the devil who accuses us night and day before God. This is the feast of the Good Shepherd. Jesus said, I am the Good Shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. This is the image that Jesus has given us. A shepherd is shepherding the sheep, pastoring. Shepherding is just a modern way of saying pastoring. A pastor is a shepherd. Shepherd is shepherding the sheep. He leads them to rich fields. He refreshes them. But there are wolves about. And a wolf sets his sight on one of the shepherd's sheep. He lies in wait for the right moment to attack. He's done this many times before, and he knows that his plans work. But this time he's dealing with a different kind of shepherd. This shepherd will not run away. This shepherd will not give up. This shepherd will not yield access to the sheep. This shepherd will die himself before he lets the wolf touch one of his sheep. The shepherd is not a coward. His mission is to protect the sheep, and he will fulfill that mission at any cost, even his own life. Here's the great tragedy. That voice of constant critical evaluation is not the good shepherd, it's the wolf, as this passage specifically says, who comes to steal and kill and destroy. It's our ancient enemy who constantly says to us we're not good enough, that God's losing patience with us, that we're not going to make it. It is precisely these lies that the good shepherd protects us from. I'm reminded of the following passage. It's the verse after John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only life. John 3:17 says, for the Son did not come to condemn the world. You know that one? Why did the Son come? The Son came so that the world might be saved. Not to condemn, but to save. This is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. It's true that we're not good enough. We're all sinners. But that's the reason the good shepherd lays down his life. This is not a truth that presses us down, but lifts us up for joy at our good fortune. We may not be perfectly responding to God in every way right now. Who is? You can leave. But this is not a truth that is a demoralizing burden. Where do you need God? Where do you need hope? Where do you need encouragement? Where do you need more spiritual power in your life? Do you need to learn to pray in a deeper way? Do you know that there's more God wants to do in your life? Guess what? You need someone to show you the way. And you've got the perfect one. The Good Shepherd. He guides sinners to mercy and grace. He guides the hopeless and discouraged to brightness and light. The Good Shepherd does not constantly criticize and accuse and put down. The Good Shepherd has come to give life. And give that life lavishly. My shepherd, hear my voice, says the good shepherd. Listen to the voice of the good shepherd. Reject the voice of the wolf and the thief. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He will do anything. The good shepherd will do anything to get you to the place that God wants you to be. Always. No exceptions. It's a promise. It's completely dependable. Listen to that.